it's my understanding that there is a war going on mm-hmm. right now. Am I right in this?
Well, actually, there are two wars.
Right.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Two Wars, the five-star It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia podcast. As you heard last episode, my name is Ashley, and my co-star, Zach. Zach is in the house.
Hey, yo, what's up? Thanks. Yes, my name is Zach. I am the co-host for this five-star podcast. Today we're going to be discussing the first episode, the pilot of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, titled The Game. Ashley, would you like to sum up the plot for the listeners out there?
Absolutely. So essentially, we begin in Patty's Pub, you know. Can't exactly remember what time or what day, but sometime, I believe, on a Thursday at, like, 8 p.m. or some shit. The gang is hanging out, you know, talking about the bar. And so Dee comes in. Dee is Dee Reynolds, and she is the token woman in the gang. She says that her boyfriend from acting class is coming in, whose name is Terrell?
Terrell, I believe so, yes.
Terrell. and Terrell comes in, and so she asks them to not be weird, not be racist, because, you know, when a group of white guys sees a black guy in their bar late at night, they don't want any trouble. So she asks them.
They think it might be some sort of hold up.
Yes.
You know what?
So then Terrell comes in the bar, and a man named Mac, who considers himself a beefcake, he's actually a twink.
Yes.
He says to Terrell, whoa, we don't want any trouble, bro. So then, obviously, their cool factor has been blown. Correct?
Yes. Yes, any sort of thinly veiled non-racism has been swiftly blown off of them to uncover the depressing, disgusting, racist centers that are inside of their Tootsie Pops.
Right on. I like that. That was beautiful. You're a man of many words and many talents.
Well, I like to think of myself as a five-star man.
You are five. I think you're a five-star man. This is a five-star podcast. So where else would you belong? So then they get to talking to Terrell. Turns out he's a club promoter. He's got niggas hanging from rafters.
That's a direct quote from him.
Direct quote, by the way. Yeah, we're not just using the N-word just to use it. We're not just being edgy.
yeah, we're not Adolf Hitler.
So, of course, you know, the gang decides to take him up on the offer. We cut to the three boys, Charlie is their wild card, and Dennis. Yeah,
he's also basically their janitor.
Yes.
Wild card janitor.
Wild card bitches! So then Dennis, he's the golden god of.
Yes.
Golden god, five-star man, who hasn't even begun to peak yet. Okay.
Hasn't even begun. You'll feel it.
You'll feel it. They're at a coffee shop where Charlie's infatuation borderline unhealthy psychotic love for their server, the waitress, whose name we have not yet discovered. 12 fucking seasons, by the way. Yeah. Don't know her goddamn name.
Not Nikki Potnick. That's for sure. Doesn't begin with a W.
Cannot stress that enough to you.
Yes.
And her name is also not Sweet Baby.
No. Oh, Sweet Baby.
She then comes out to serve them, and she hears Charlie say that they do have niggers hanging from rafters. Proceeds to call him Hitler, and then offers him coffee with a lot of cream.
Yes, to further imply that Charlie is indeed a racist and does not want his coffee black.
When in fact, Charlie is actually pretty successful with the black ladies, as we see further in the episode.
Correct, yes. He seems to have these women hanging from, hanging off of them. This is not great news to Mac, who is not doing so well in the African American community that they had visited.
Yeah, it's probably because these people a lot.
Correct. He is as white as a polar bear in a blizzard.
I like that.
You know, printed out on a piece of white printer paper.
I appreciate this. I appreciate this word, these words you're using. So after, you know, well, they go to a community college to go, you know, make friends with black people. which I don't, which it's a funny concept in itself. Okay, so then the women ask Charlie, black lady asks Charlie, do you play dominoes? He dabbles. We go to Charlie. What is he saying? Domino, bitch! And all of a sudden,
yes,
he's a hit.
He's the belle of the ball.
He is the belle of the ball. As they're leaving, a black woman approaches Charlie, a very cute black woman, and asks him on a date. Who Charlie then says, well, you know, he says yes to because he would like to take her to the coffee shop and show the waitress that he is not
racist.
It's simple, right? It makes sense. I mean, the easiest way to prove that you're not racist is to have one black friend.
Yes, that's the go-to for every white person who's being accused of being racist because they're racist.
How could you be racist? You have one black friend.
Exactly.
So, now this is a subplot to the or main plot where, remember, the bar is now a bar that is a hit. It is swim. It has people hanging from the rafters because it's not just black people. It's all the people. And they just all happen to be men.
Yes, they all happen to be men who, well, let's just say they're a man's man.
They prefer.
They like dick.
Okay, so we just let the cat out of the bag. They're gay men.
Yeah.
Dennis is all because he is making all the tips.
All of them.
And Dee is not a fan of this, so she says, you know, this isn't okay. Dee realizes her sad little man, her sad little boyfriend, is a gay man. Now, Dennis, because he's a 5-star man who does not discriminate and is insanely vain, decides,
mm-hmm. you
know, let's keep the bar like this.
Yes. He thinks it's great because him and Charlie are making crazy amounts of money. But Mac is a very religious man, and he doesn't like the fact that the bar is now a gay bar. So there's that. So essentially there becomes two wars between the side that would like to keep the bar a gay bar and the side that would like to revert it back to the original state of it being a cold, dirty Irish pub.
Now, the best part I'll tell you about these two wars is, which side do you think you'd be on? Let the bar stay a gay bar, or, you know, not a gay bar?
Well, if it were me, if I were in any of their shoes, I would want it to stay a gay bar. I mean, they're making so much money, and, you know, there's never enough gay bars. You can't have too many gay bars. So, yeah, I think I would definitely keep it a gay bar.
I think, I don't know, it's a pretty badass place, you know? You have security who gives ocular pat-downs. You know, it's a real man's man, you know, for bodyguards, by bodyguards type club. I don't think it's really a gay bar.
You don't think it's a gay bar type of place?
No, it's not a gay bar type of place. It's more of like yeah, like I said, it's an Irish pub, you know? You don't go to Irish pubs for the dick, man. You go to get blasted in the mouth by tequila shots.
Well, you know, see that's where I disagree with you there, because I think that, you know, there are too many Irish pubs where you can go get plastered, and you can go to any local watering hole and get plastered for $10. But, you know, they have a sort of unique experience that you can't get anywhere else, and maybe you can also find some dick there. You never know. You might get lucky. You might find some big old dude to slap your ass in the morning and ask you how that ass feel. You never know.
Yeah, but then I imagine myself being vain and really starting to dig it, and then getting really drunk and accidentally, by the way, having mm-hmm. sex with somebody of the same gender. And then, you know, you kind of just, you're saying, no, I don't want a gay bar anymore. I don't want it.
You want to go back from that experiment. You had an experiment. Absolutely. And you want to go back to the way things were. Well, you know, I guess we can agree to disagree. Essentially keeping these two wars at a standstill until further notice.
Are we at peacetime?
I think we should, you know, serve some squash and beef, get some dirt, bury that hatchet.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd love to bury the hatchet. I think that's what we need to do. I don't know, though. Two wars? Am I mistaken here? Am I mistaken, or does it always end in peace?
It always ends in either peace or an anger that you will suppress. Suppressed anger, you know, agree to disagree. Everybody ends up unhappy. Nobody wins. Just like real wars.
Yeah, just like real wars. I think this episode is perfect, actually, to just start out describing who the characters are, the main characters, aside from Frank, who we meet in season two. I think it really, really shows how crazy Charlie is.
Yes.
And how desperate Dee is, and how vain Dennis is, and how... What's a word you'd use for Matt? Because I can't really think of one.
Well, he's like, I call him homophobic.
Homophobic.
Because, yeah, but faux spelled F-A-U-X.
Oh!
That's a word that I use, homophobic, to describe anyone who pretends to be straight and hate gay people. Homophobic.
Oh. That's another two words. Are you homophobic or are you homophobic? I like exactly. That play on words.
Thank you.
I am picking up what you're putting down, man, and I am digging it.
Yes, well, I'm putting down a lot of it.
What's your favorite of the episode?
My favorite what of the episode?
Favorite part.
My favorite part of the episode would have to be is when Dennis wakes up, sees the used condoms strewn about, checks out the person's ass who is laying beside him, and, you know, agrees with it, and then finds out that it is nothing more than a very long-haired man with a mustache. Blonde mustache, by the way, which makes it worse. And then promptly gets smacked on the ass by a very large man who asks him how that ass feel, which I guess is considerate.
It's a very tender lover, though. You gotta be a tender lover, I imagine, when you're dealing with... Oh, I mean, I imagine everything about that scene was pretty fucking tender.
You know, it would have been a good Shyamalan twist if they had actually shown it. Full penetration.
Full penetration is the only way to go. That's the only way this episode to be produced.
Unfortunately, they had to cut it due to legal reasons. Somebody got chlamydia.
You know, what I think of, It's Always Sunny. I think of the first episode. It's not necessarily one of my favorites. The first season, actually, is probably my, like, third least favorite. But when I go back into my It's Always Sunny ideas and Always Sunny podcasts and Always Sunny everything, without that first episode, I would be fucking lost. You know what I mean? Like, they really did something good there. And it kept me interested. It definitely did that.
I agree. It was sort of like some sort of table of contents for the characters and their intentions, which, you know, gets updated periodically to tell you how it's going along, and that's what season and series premieres are supposed to do. But the core ideologies of these characters never seem to change that much.
The only person who changes is Mac, and that's because he becomes more Mac.
Exactly.
And he's a very special guy.
He is. That actually brings me to our theory section of the episode. Should we hold off on the theories?
No, man. Let's theory it up.
Alrighty. Okay. So this theory is the gang is actually in hell. Now, this theory states that when the gang was in the ship when it went down in season 11, they actually did die and resulted in the characters going to hell, their own personal hells. Now, this is exemplified mainly in season 12 when Mac comes out of the closet, and considering that he was, you know, very homophobic and, you know, very against gay marriage, it would seem like his personal hell would be him admitting that he is gay. Then, of course, we get Dennis's double life, which shows Dennis deciding to give up being, you know, a five-star man and a man whore and, you know, settling down and being a father and moving to Ohio or wherever he was going, Colorado. And then Charlie, spoiler alert, these are all spoiler alerts, and he bangs the waitress and gets her pregnant, and now she is almost stalking him, which would be his personal hell because he's been obsessed with the waitress, and for him to be annoyed by her and to want to get rid of her that bad, that would be his personal hell, that he doesn't like the waitress anymore after he had her. And of course, you know, D, she's already living in her hell. I mean, her entire life has been hell. You know, everybody calls her a bird, but she is. She's a fucking bird. And I've been thinking fish more recently because her eyes are sort of far apart.
All right, so yes, her eyes are what's far apart. That's funny. I have the theory that they all went to hell and that now they're living in their own personal hells. Especially Charlie, because it seems like things really took off for Charlie. You know what I mean? As we lead to this theory and we talk about Charlie, Charlie sort of went downhill, as you guys know, as we keep recounting every episode. Charlie's life kind of went downhill quickly. He became far more illiterate. He's clearly twisted. He's clearly on so many drugs. And then he finally gets everything he wants. He gets to bang the waitress. They can live with Frank. They can be super happy. And then it's like he has this epiphany, like, oh shit, this isn't what I want. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
12 seasons, 10 years, 11 years of just being obsessed with a woman, being absolutely obsessed with this. And now you're fucked because you don't even want it. It's like the most heartbreaking, almost. It's actually kind of a tragedy.
It is. It's a Shakespearean tragedy.
It's a Shyamalan twist, if you will.
It really is. Shyamalan Dignity Dong. Correct. Now, Frank's hell is sort of not come to fruition yet. He's living life. He loves it. Honestly, I think he would enjoy hell. And maybe that is, you know, he goes to hell.
Frank
and
devil.
Yeah, he doesn't, he wouldn't care. You know, he'd be like, all right, well, I'll just make a deal with the devil. I'll pay the devil a bunch of money and he'll let me bang all the dirty hell whores that I can. So maybe he is in hell. He's just enjoying it.
Well, you think about who Frank is. He actually, he came back, if you guys didn't listen to the first episode, Frank came to visit his kids and then decided he wanted to live their life of debauchery. He purposefully moved into Charlie's shitty-ass one-bedroom, which we're pretty sure is like three bedrooms, his shitty apartment. He purposely, like, gave up this lavish lifestyle just so he could eat rum ham and, like, fucking, you know, bang whores and do all these things that are just not. No, it's like a, it's like worse than a midlife crisis.
It really is. So that's what I think. I think if anything, if he were to go to hell, he would just pay Satan to get out of it, or just enjoy it. He'd be like, "All right, I can adapt to any situation. You know, I've boiled denim. I've eaten eggs. I've been under bridges. What's so bad about this?
What is so bad?" Pineapples up his butt. I mean, he likes to do stuff, but he likes to be like a cop salad. So, I mean, it's not necessarily too far off the idea that Frank is actually, I would say, not even that he's paying the devil off. I would say Frank is the devil.
He does wear a lot of red shirts.
He is, I mean, he has greasy fingers. He says devil things. You know, remember when they're playing Charlie McDennis too. Electric Boogaloo, which is such a fucking great title, by the way. You see what he traps him in a fucking basement of the bar and pretends that they're playing Operation, and like that is the most psychotic sick shit ever.
And let us not forget, pretty much if it weren't for Frank, none of these other things would have been happening. If Frank hadn't paid for them to go on the flight and use his card to do the Wade Boggs challenge, then Dennis never would have ended up in Colorado and banged that chick, gotten her knocked up, and then never would have moved down there to be a father. If Frank hadn't met Mac, Mac would have never changed churches and went on the religious cruise, which made him sort of realize that he was gay, but then sort of like repress it. If Frank wasn't rich and never met Charlie, Charlie wouldn't really have been able to convince the waitress to sleep with him, and which made him not want to be with the waitress anymore, which would be sort of his personal hell. Dee's whole life has been shit, and that's in part due to
yeah
exactly. So yeah, I think Frank may be Satan.
I mean, if it wasn't for Frank, Rickety Cricket wouldn't have the dog vagina slit on his neck.
Yeah, well, are we supposed to, you know, get into the mind of a dog and think of his scar as a dog vagina? I don't know. That's God's work, but who doesn't God's exist work, by right. the way?
But I'm really digging this Frank is the devil theory, especially because their lives weren't that bad. At all.
Yeah. I mean, Charlie was, you know, I mean, he would wear those sport coats over his hoodies, which I thought was always a good look. And, you know, he was a lot more literate and a lot more well-spoken and wasn't just the janitor and the rat basher. They all started getting worse. It's almost like Frank is, like, sort of like a horcrux, if you're familiar with
it. Right. Frank Reynolds is the devil, and we are stating that. I am stating that definitively, and I encourage you guys, I definitely encourage you guys to debate me on whether or not Frank Reynolds is the devil. Now, see, here's the thing. We are now recording on Anchor, which is awesome because we can use our phones and basically be anywhere. So hopefully we'll be pumping out more content. Right, man? Am I wrong?
That sounds like a plan.
Pumping out more content, having some fun stuff, doing some cool. You can do Anchor Live too, right?
I'm not sure. I'll have to look into that.
All right. So if we can, we'll do some live stuff with you guys too. But it's just, you know, Two Wars is a place where we will be discussing It's Always Sunny episodes, where we'll be, you know, giving you some fan theories, hopefully reading some fan mail, because you guys, we officially have an Instagram, which is Two Wars _5-star podcast. What? And also, you can find us on Facebook at Two War. Facebook, what is it? Two Wars. But it's always Sunny podcast. It is always going to be fun. As we go into each series and each episode, we look forward to hearing from you guys. Let's not be hate. Let's not, you know, be the gross Karanas, guys. Let's get, you know, nothing sexual.
Yeah, nothing sexual. Let's make sure that's underlined and italicized and bold, yeah, just so you guys know. You know, we want somebody who can find the humor in the little things. But, you know, again, nothing sexual.
Nothing. I cannot. Nothing sexual. And even though we know you guys are degenerates, because all of It's Sunny fans are degenerates in one form.
Little jabronis.
Are jabronites? I don't know. I'll figure something
Jabronians.
Out. Jabronians. I think jabronis is just like the word. Jabronis. Our jabronis. Yeah, and then as we go through and we start to build a rapport with you guys, we would love to have some of you on as guests to discuss the season. Mix it up, max it up. We're going in order, so if you can count from 1 to 10, then you know what episode we're on and that what episode you'd like to record. Always drop us a message about that, whether it be in our DMs on our Instagram or our personal messages on our Facebook, because the more people that we have talking about It's Always Sunny, the more intense and the more, what's the other word?
Ludicrous.
Ludicrous, and the more outrageous the conversations can get.
Exactly.
Zach, anything else?
I think you wrapped it up with a nice little bow.
Yay. You think that will make this podcast attractive enough for Luther Mack?
I'll try my best.
All right, guys. Well, from the Two Wars podcast, it is me, Ashley Sanders, and of course, my co-host, Zach. Zach, where can people find you if they want to see what you got going on in the world?
Well, if I'm not under a bridge eating eggs out of some boiled denim, then I'm on Instagram at Doland Online, DOLANDONLINE. That's also my Twitter handle. I also have a YouTube channel called Cineha. It's cinema with an H for comedy. Cineha.
Ooh.
Those are all of my plugs.
There it is. All right, guys. This has been Two Wars. And until next time, jabronis. I don't know. I don't have a sign out.
Go fuck yourselves.
Go fuck yourselves. Yes. Perfect.
It's my understanding that there is a war going on right now. Am I right in this?
Well, actually, there are two wars right now.